all set and chat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Apologies for last week's absence, but I had loads to do, so I couldn't do the show. Or did I do a show?
Didn't we do a show last week?
No, you didn't.
We just did.
Oh, no, no.
We did. That's right.
Righty did a Big Mac, didn't he? That's right.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't there.
No.
He did a show.
So we're here to discuss all the news that isn't happening for Apple. There is absolutely bugger all real decent news to talk about. So we're going to bitch and moan about 10.3 and 10.12 for the entire hour.
We are?
Well,
there's
I don't know.
Anything in those updates to do that about.
Oh, mate, our Slack channel, Jesus Christ. You'd think that the hell had frozen
over. Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys all, for some reason, over in the UK, the whole update cut. Completely hosed.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Joining me, I got Doc, I got Adam, I got Chuck, I got Patrice. There you go. You're all right, boys.
Sorry, I started talking.
No. Let's get into it. So 10.3 hit, and people did the update in the Slack room, and instantly there was Muller's SIM card locked, so he had to get a PUK code to unlock it from the cell provider. Mac Jim's notifications and two-factor authentication's gone all over the shop. Ian Lewis had God knows what kind of problem, but he got over it in the end. I've been effortless. I've done 10.3 on the that's not the best bit, because I looked at it, I thought, that's effortless, it's not a problem, and then I realised I hadn't done the update. I did it on my Mac, and I thought that was one of my stupider decisions in the week, potentially. But 10.12 was perfect on the Mac, no worries at all.
Yet.
Right.
But everyone else has been complaining. Has anyone else been suckered?
Every one of my iOS devices went flawlessly. I mean, they took a while. It did take a while.
Yeah, it was long.
So what I've been advising people is make sure that you're plugged in and you're backed up and you're willing to wait. Like, don't. A lot of people try and do it like at the office or when they're rushing out somewhere or something like that. So I would probably be on good Wi-Fi and all those sorts of things, but.
I even plugged mine into iTunes on the computer just not to do the over-the-air, just, belt and suspenders kind of thing, because it is changing the file system. So I figured if I'm going to be careful for one update, this is the one to do it for. So I actually even backed up, which I rarely do. I shouldn't even admit that. But backed everything up and then upgraded. And like Adam said, it was flawless. Took a while. I agree, but it's been great.
Chuck gets a lecture or something, goes, if it's not in three spaces, it doesn't exist. And he goes, it's in one space. Wow.
I think
the funny part is I went belt and suspenders to like cable it up to make sure it goes good, but I screwed it back up though.
Yeah, Muller's. Muller's put in the chat room here. It forced him to do two-factor authentication, and I think the thing was with the. With the way that it asked you about two-factor, you couldn't. There was no piss-off button. You had to go into it, and then if you weren't careful and you ended up clicking again, it started the two-factor process rather than you then clicking the cancel.
Is that what happened? Because I had a buddy phone me up because he got in a pickle with the two-factor too. Like it wasn't sending the codes, or he wasn't getting the alerts. And he had turned on two-factor all of a sudden, and I'm like, "Well, how come you just suddenly up and decided to do two-factor?" And maybe
I think that has something to do with this whole story about the hacker group that I think is extorting money or is trying to extort money from Apple. And I mean, at the same time, while 10.3 and all that came out, Apple apparently also reset something, because I think all of us had to re-log into the iCloud accounts.
Let's see, the first thing I do is when any of my buddies call me up and tell me that they didn't have the two-factor on, I'd immediately kick them off my buddy list. Because your bigger question should be, why don't you have two-factor on in the first place? On a mobile device, this is mean, but on a mobile device, I think it should be mandatory. Your desktop's a little different. It requires getting in the house, getting past the dog, getting past my... P38, it requires a lot of things to get to the computer. But I feel mobile devices, two-factor should almost be mandatory at this point.
Mm-hmm. I'd be with you if it always worked well and reliably for everybody. I don't know that I would feel Like, I would recommend it to my mom, who might just really confuse her. And
that's exactly what I was going to say. I still don't think it passes the mom test. If your mom can't get it without you, you know, walking her through it, it's probably not ready.
No one passes the mom test. We're all victims of that, mate.
Yeah, no matter what it is. But I mean, then there has to be a better second factor that maybe doesn't necessarily require that one portion of the connectivity. Like, I don't know. It seems like there has to be a better way to lock the phones down. And I'm really surprised that something that Adam spoke about on Metcalf the other day, I'm surprised how many people still don't use two-factor authentication for the at least a couple of the important services, like your email for one, any of your financial accounts for two, and then your social medias that are known for getting in these kind of troubles, like you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Like, I think all of the standard basics you should have your two-factor on. And then the concept of using, like, 1Password or something, I wish Apple would pick them up and almost make it sort of mandatory, for the simple reason that there are way too many people out there in the whole world that are using the same password for everything. So, like, when you hit one of those breaches and somebody says, oh, they got your password from, you know, the BTN site. All right, cool. I'm going to just change that one and I'm done. But, you know, people don't do that. And then, oh, I got hacked. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't be having the same password all over the place. And my memory is going. I'm going to sit here and be ageist anymore. I am getting elderly. I have a hard time remembering all kind of crap. And part of that is age. Part of that is I smoked a metric crap ton of weed. I was British show, so I went metric. But at this point, that's what the password managers are for. And the price that you pay for them is so little, it just doesn't make sense to be like all of us try to teach everybody this still. It has been for so long.
I will say that I think the two-factor authentication that Apple rolled out with is at least a lot better than the two-step authentication that it replaced. That was just a hot mess, I think. And two-factor authentication
has worked pretty well. I would even go as far as saying that it's probably better than any other implementation I've seen. I mean, even Google's.
Again.
Yeah.
Go on.
But it's still not good.
Yeah, I was going to say, when it works, it's great. But when it doesn't, get in these weird loops. So, you know, you like log into something and I think the way it works now, or supposed to work, because it doesn't work this way all the time for me, is one of my other devices, usually my phone, but sometimes all of them at once, and that is maybe also part of the problem. You get the little pop-up with the map, right? And you're supposed to say okay, and then it's supposed to, I think, just log you in at that point.
Yeah. No, it should give you the code.
Yeah, it gives you a six-digit code, too, after that. But my problem with that is that, you know, I understand there are issues with Wi-Fi-based location. So, you know, the router that you're on isn't always going to be accurate. But I'll get notices that pop up and say, a computer in West Virginia wants access to your stuff.
Right. Yep.
And I know that I just asked for it, and it's me, and it just has the wrong location. But for a lot of people who aren't thinking about those things, that could scare the hell out of them.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's weird stuff like that. But again, sometimes, you know, and like in the case of my buddy, he gets the pop-up when he logged into his iPad, but then he goes to do his Mac or his iPhone, and he is getting the message saying, hey, we just sent you a code on your other device, and there's no code showing up. You know, it's like that's anywhere. He's like, and then I told him about the thing, you know, you can go into the device and you can request a code. And then so he could get the code up. But then because the machine was like, we've sent you a code. It never came up. The Mac never came up with the box where he could enter the code. So now he has the code. He can't enter it.
I have seen it where it hides the code, you know, the pop under thing, and then you just can't get to it because something else has locked it. You know what I mean? There's another dialog box somewhere that's locked it open, so you can't actually get to it. I've seen that happen. But also seen the weird situation where it asks you the code in a location, and you say, okay, and I guess because it's your phone or it knows that it's you, it just goes ahead and logs you in without actually letting you type in the code. I have seen it automatically disappear. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe it just knows that I'm actually on a device. Like, I didn't really put that much thought to it, but that would kind of defeat the purpose of the two-factor in a certain sense, right? If they had both of your devices for whatever reason.
I think that may be part of continuity too, because that said a couple times it works for me, where I think it auto enters the code, and it may be running through like the local Bluetooth and continuity, where it just takes the code from the device and
that makes it sense.
On into the machine. But this is exactly the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, where it's like if I had my mom enabled this in any one of these scenarios where it didn't work or it worked weird or something happened, I'd be getting phone calls, you know? Right. So it's just like, I don't really want to recommend to her that she turns it on, because it's just going to end up confusing her at some point and stressing her out.
There's a whole other category of issues, and that is basically third-party apps where you need the app-specific passwords.
Yep,
and, I mean,
that too.
We had that in the chat room. People don't even know how to set them up, and even for me, someone who knows how to do that, it's still kind of weird and awkward and more work than is necessary.
Apple haven't.
I definitely like them, but I have a love-hate relationship with them, because when you're trying to do something really quick, it'll be like, hey, get your app-specific password. And I'm like, oh, crap. And you end up logging into Apple to get it. So I don't know how I feel about that.
I simply put a couple in my password, and I simply reuse them, which you shouldn't, but it's usually the fastest way of doing it.
But there's so many stupid things with passwords with Apple, though. When you put in your Apple ID and password when the thing restarts, and then you get in there and it goes, oh, I need your iTunes password. And it's like, it's the frigging same. Because the thing is as well, you could say, oh, okay, maybe you've got a different iTunes account where the money comes out of, if it's like a family sharing type thing. Yeah, okay, I get that. Except it doesn't give me the opportunity to change the username. It just says type the password that we've already got for this username. So that's...
And it's the same username.
Well. It's just... Patrice was with me when we tried to turn over Ellis's laptop, iPad, into his own identity, so we could use family sharing. And it was a bore. Like it was like 8 times we had to enter a password, and then we had to restart, and then we had to go back in, and then we had to start another process and find out. We had to physically look and see, well, where could I have to sign out and back in again? And it took 35 minutes instead of, and that was with a clean iPad, allegedly, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
Can I say I've had a positive thing related to accounts in this latest update, Ben? Because I'm with you on that, Ewan. It's always been confusing. But 10.3 now, when you go into settings, all your accounts are right there at the top, and they're all gathered together, and all the settings related to them, including privacy and changing your passwords and which accounts are logged into which services and all of the information about all your devices, very first thing in the settings. Now.
Yes. It makes it so much easier to get in there.
Yeah.
So, man, the device list is crazy. I look at my device list and it's long. I'm like, I gotta stop buying Apple crap.
I cleaned that up. That was the first thing I did.
Yeah. Got rid of your old devices and stuff like that. But that kind of change, that kind of user interface change is great, because now, you know, you have everything that's an account related to Apple is right there. The only complaint I probably have about it now is they didn't clean up. So from a UI perspective, a lot of the things that you're clicking on, and Apple's been doing this more and more lately, is it's now potentially in two places. You can get there from two paths. So for example, some of the like privacy settings or the iCloud settings, like there's still iCloud, maybe not iCloud, but there's some other things where you can get to the same setting from two different paths. And that drives me bonkers.
What I find interesting is the fact that this was a file change, and going from HFS to and it's just like all the issues people have been with signing in, with getting going.
Right.
Not so they got the hard bit right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not the loss of data that you'd expect with a file system change.
Yeah, the file system's been, as far as I know, great. But I mean, maybe it's maybe too early to say. I mean, there could be problems.
You haven't opened that door yet, Adam.
Right.
Can I ask a question? Do you guys all have ATV 4s?
Yes.
Okay, after the new tvOS update, I have a weird thing where every once in a while, and I think it happens in the TV app and maybe HBO or something, you go to click it, you know, to launch an episode, and then I get a screen that comes out, you know, slightly gray blurred out, and then the two dialogue boxes, and I don't know what they say because they're both white. They're just clear, like, boxes. So I'm like, I'm assuming the right answer's on the top and the wrong answer's on the bottom. I just go with it. And then it worked. And one time it kicked me back out to the menu, which is probably was the cancel. And it's not the same in each app. So I just wondering if that was just a rare or something that happened with the tvOS update, or possibly take my ATV in and get it, or just wipe it clean and try it again and see what happens.
You're up on TV,
switch to dark mode.
I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave.
And I'll be like, girl, my name ain't Dave. Who you seeing on the side? But yeah, I'm amazed that they rolled all this out at once, and it's all relatively smooth. I mean, for the most part, they went through the whole house and said, change everything.
Yep. Spring cleaning. That's what it is, isn't it? Apple spring cleaning.
Yeah, kind of.
It's been kind of.
And I think partly it happens because all the OSs are interdependent on each other now. And I don't think you can really do one big update and then wait 6 months to do the next, you know, iOS or whatever, because they all rely on each other. They're all so interconnected now.
I was kind of surprised that Apple rolled out a Apple file system that fast. I didn't expect that. I thought, I mean, when they announced it at WWDC last year, they said, okay, it's not ready for prime time. We will probably need a long time to, I mean, fix all the bugs and make it really solid. And then after, 7 months, 8 months, they rolled it out to, I mean, how many billion iOS devices?
One point something.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, a lot.
Wow. It's rolled out on the Mac, too. People just don't know it.
Yeah, but not as the main system. You cannot even use it as your main file system.
Yeah, that's correct. It won't work on startup volumes.
Yeah, exactly. So that was surprising. I thought they would, I mean, do it maybe on the Mac first and then the iPhone. But apparently...
The iPhone's a much more controlled environment, I think, is why they rolled it out on iOS first.
Yeah.
That might
be very much more controlled. Especially when it comes to the file system, right? Because they know where developers can write files. They know, you know, everything is so locked down. It's a pretty controlled.
On the other hand, if you mess it up, you mess it up for a lot of people.
Right.
Well, they seem to have messed it up for no one.
Yeah. Well, we don't know yet. But
I haven't noticed any data missing, any files missing, any images, any videos, any calls, any contacts or anything like that.
And actually, the system seems to be a little bit faster. I don't know whether that's just, I don't know, me expecting it to be faster or whether it's true, but for me...
I watched a couple of the videos, Patrice.
The animation, so that helped it too.
Oh. Yeah, I was just going to say, I just watched a couple of videos on YouTube of people doing a test, and there's one guy, I forget his name, but he's out of the UK. He had pretty much every device all the way going back to the 5... or 5S or something like that, all the way to the front. And he did 10.2 versus 10.3 on every one of the devices and found where the speed differences are and things like that. And it's funny, the oldest device was a big speed difference and the newest device was a big speed difference. The things in the middle, like the 6 and 6 Plus, they were faster, but, you know, sort of negligible. And so it was a pretty interesting watch, and a bunch of guys did various tests, but it's definitely the springboard, and all the animations are way quicker with this.
Yeah.
The question I was wondering is anybody here since upgrading done a full backup and then tried to restore?
Is that when it goes really wrong?
That should be faster.
I just thought about that now. It's like, you know, a whole new file system, so it's got to back up a whole new file system and then restore to that whole new file system, right? So, I'm sure it's fine, but...
Is that a dare? Have you just dared everyone to do that?
Yeah.
I was thinking about, man, I could do that tonight. Tonight's Friday. I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right, so, you know, since we're having a really cool show on tips and whatnot, since there's no news, I got another great one for you. I have a situation where I use my iPhoto thing. I hate that word. I just said it wrong. I use Photos, but I don't use that app. On the computer, I use Lightroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the phone, I have Photo Library turned on, Optimize Storage turned on, and iCloud Sharing turned on. Never Photo Stream because I can't have any pictures from the nudie bar pop up on Emma's Apple TV. That was a joke, people. Please, nobody write anything dumb in. So I'm at the point where I'm using like 198 of 200 gigs because this phone is so good at taking pictures. You take a lot of pictures, and I only shoot video in 4K for the just in case. So, like, I don't want to use that Photos app. But going in the device and trying to find things to delete or duplicate pictures or ones where I'm playing with exposure bracketing, that's just way too much work. Like, is there a better way to manage this? Because the online version is not any easier because you can't mass select.
I wouldn't use my phone to photograph anything I wanted to keep anyway.
Well, part of this is the A7 automatically sends everything here when I shut it off.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? So even when I'm shooting with the A7, like, I turn it off and it sends everything over, which is cool because the phone has a lot of space. It's just without, you know, just automatically jumping up to the next highest because it goes from like 200 to 1 terabyte, which means it goes from $3 to $10, which, again, I don't really care, but I'm just wondering if there was a better way because I can't be the only person starting to run into this brick.
Why don't you just favorite stuff and then the stuff that you haven't favorited you can delete?
Yeah, that might be it. That might be faster than trying to find what to delete and keep.
Trying to scroll through your phone and look at all the pictures. I mean, I've had a few people say to me, I was at Comic-Con a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to a guy there about 3D printing, and I showed him Eddie, me Eddie dog, that I'd 3D printed. And going back to, and I knew the month that it was done, you know, it was July. It's like, July 2016. It took me ages to find the images.
You didn't just search?
Sorry?
Search?
No, I put in... no, it wasn't July. I thought it was July and it wasn't. But, I mean...
But what about 3D print or dog or...
Oh, no, I haven't tagged it.
Oh, well, you don't need to.
You have the image detection stuff now.
Yeah, but it would have got dog.
I don't. Yeah.
Wait.
Sure.
Wait. Hold on. I haven't. You know, I'm going to sit here and I've never done that. So let me try that real quick.
thank God I'm not going to search.
And I'm going to search bottle.
Search.
Yeah. And if it doesn't show me all of my Scotch pictures,
for you, right?
Holy crap! My Scotch pictures. Man, yeah. Shut up, Adam. I take back your bad French pronunciation, homie.
Oh, fellas.
I can't believe I'll sit here. I know what I'm doing, and I've never used that before. That is absolutely insane.
Oh, give over that shit. So
it works, brother.
I've just searched dog, right?
Right.
All right.
And
you do that.
And it's giving me a picture of me toe because it thinks it's a hot dog.
That's about right,
baby.
Maybe
it is.
All right, so it's searched
perfect.
Dog.
It's not perfect, but it's pretty darn good.
It's not perfect.
You can narrow your images.
Mate, that's as far away from perfect as perfect gets.
Dude, I searched dog, and I got a bunch of pictures of that cute dog that comes to our food festival, and then a picture of Donald Trump.
Or beach, or shell, or crab, or whatever. I don't know, whatever you might have pictures of. And it's about... It's about 80 to 90% accurate on what it returns.
It even found a picture of us at Rickshaw where there is a dog somewhere in the picture somewhere.
In the background, yeah, that's the dog that runs around. That's Rick. Let me look up sushi, because that ought to be in here.
And this works
on
the Mac.
What is you and call it grilled meat? I'm gonna look up grilled meat.
To run, which I'm having an issue with on my Mac, and I could use help, so I'm gonna throw it out there. My Mac is only about halfway through scanning my images, and I've been upgraded for a couple weeks now.
That's a picture of my daughter against a green screen, and it's found under Blackboard.
Okay.
Because Blackboards used to be green. At least here they were.
Oh, yeah. We have green Blackboards.
We have green Blackboards.
Don't be importing your to process for notifications and identifications, mate. There we go.
Dude, you guys got to have green blackboards too. We can't be the only ones.
There you go. That's a picture of a listener who confronted me at the NFL game at Wembley, and that's come up under black tie.
He's got a black lanyard on.
Oh, give right? over. That's not black tie.
It's a white lanyard.
Don't make excuses for...
I don't know.
So dude, I can't believe my words, though.
So Ewan's thing for this is, hey, look at all the correct ones. Let's just point out.
I haven't found a correct one. That's my point.
I
haven't typed anything in, and it actually found what it was looking for.
Works for me.
Okay, works for me.
Stairs.
Oh, this is funny.
Wow.
Let's try that. Stairs.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 pictures of stairs, and then I've got 5 pictures of railway. Which, okay, sleepers, I can kind of get that.
0 pictures of stairs.
No, so just on that same note, I looked up wood just to see projects I'm working
on your device.
I still can't find my dog. That's my point.
I looked up wood, and then one of the categories popped up saying woodwinds, and I'm like, man, I've never seen a clarinet. And what I have is a picture of all of us at the soccer game doing this because we were making the A symbol, and it thinks that we're holding clarinets. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
It's not perfect. I will give you that. But again, we're talking about narrowing 20,000 images down to maybe 100 or 50 or whatever it might be, right? I don't know why dog's not working for you, Ewan, because it does work for me. What if you do like 3D print or something like that?
You reckon it's going to pick up? No, it's not going to pick that up.
I don't know what it recognizes or what it doesn't recognize. No. Mine has found weird things that I'm like, I didn't even know I had pictures of that.
3D, no, it's not done that.
Okay.
So does it work if you look up boobs?
Paper.
Or plastic, okay. Or toy. Toy might work.
No, I've got no boob pictures.
For figurine.
Yeah. Mine just came up with a picture of Bad Witch. I'm going to get killed.
What were you searching for? That's a bigger question.
No, I looked up pillows and then she popped up.
Oh, I can't. I there isn't.
I see that.
Blue. No, it doesn't. The background color was blue, but it's not done that. There isn't anything that I can find that dog with. So thanks for that tip, Adam.
It works for me.
Why don't you turn it on?
I've got to turn it on.
No, well, I don't know. That wouldn't work at all, but you. It must be turned on.
It's on. It's searching for stuff, but it's not. I think I've got to say, finding my diseased toe when it thinks it's a hot dog. Is that like a hint to lose weight? Bastard. Right, okay, features in 10.3 then.
I tried to help.
Find my AirPods. Anyone had a go with Find My AirPods yet? Does it work?
Oh, I haven't tried it.
Or is that shit as well?
Sure, they're always on my person, so it always manages to find them.
You get a message, you go, where's Find My iPods? You get a message, but they're in your ears, twat. Yeah.
Hey, that's funny. I haven't used it yet.
Right,
here's the thing.
Go on.
I was going to say, here's the thing about that, is it will only find them if one of them is, like, out of the case. It has to be out of the case, and it kind of uses the last known GPS location where it was connected to your device. And I'm more apt to actually lose the whole case with the AirPods in it than actually, you know, have one fall out or leave one on a table somewhere or something.
Huh? Yeah, because that's in your pocket.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, my bigger thing is I'm going to have them in the charging case and set them down somewhere and forget that I left them, you know. On the, like, one example I know, I left them one time in the car, just on the car seat. So I had been doing something. I had taken them out, put them in the case, and set that on the car seat and forgot and walked in the house. And then later was, like, looking for them. And in that scenario, it wouldn't help a bit. So I don't know how useful Find My AirPods is going to be for a lot of people. I guess it'll, for some, but I've never had one just pop out, and I can't imagine a scenario where I would just leave them out of the charging case lying around.
Mm.
So far, to me, like, the one of the absolute coolest things about the update has been the ability to share an entire podcast episode or even, like, you know, music files, you know, from whatever. So, like, my niece's birthday the other day, and I sent her a birthday song, and then the fact that you can just play the whole thing in her device is really cool. But I love the fact that you can share podcasts, and, you know, I guess I hopefully that means that the podcast app isn't completely abandoned and it will get better. I mean, currently I use Castro, but I would like to see that one get a little bit better. But you talk about a great way for people like us in order to have, you know, friends and family share the show with other friends. Like, you know, these dorks said something correct this week, check this out. And then it just puts the whole episode right there, and they don't have to leave or go get another app to play it or all that other kind of crazy stuff. So I think that's a really, really good part of the update, at least for us.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Windrider is mentioning that on his 32 gig iPad, he has now 2 gigs extra of space after the update.
Yep.
Yeah.
Heard that.
Mine got smaller.
Mm.
Your overall capacity goes up.
I didn't know what mine was to start with. So.
Windrider's searched for dog, and it came up with doggy do. In his photos.
Why do you have a picture of doggy do? Is the better question.
What? He takes shit pictures.
That's funny.
I'll be here all week. 10-12 with night shift came out. Anyone's got night shift on? I spent a fortune on calibration equipment, and I want bloody night shift. Not.
Oh, I love night shift. Well, I was using an independent one before night shift. I can't remember what it was called.
Flux. Flux.
Thank you. Yeah. So I use that a lot. I think it helps a lot. I didn't like it at first. It was disturbing to me, but once I got used to it, my eyes feel better when I go to bed at night after I'm done with the computer. And if I turn it off because I want to do some kind of photo editing or whatever at night, it's bright and it's garish, and I can't wait to put it back on again. So assuming night shift is going to work pretty much the same way. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I've actually used Night Shift on the Mac. The only issue I have is, I mean, basically what you were saying, when you want to edit something, there is no easy way of just, I mean, with Flux you can say, turn it off for this app, or turn it off for Photoshop, and it will automatically do that. You can't do that for Night Shift, so you have to manually hunt down the setting and turn it off for that app. And that's kind of annoying.
When it's on, do they have a place that makes it easy to access other than having to go all the way into the display settings, uh-huh, into the night shift tab?
As far as I know, you have to go to display settings.
You know, one of the things that's super kind of driving me crazy too is, and now that's really cool, is they have TV providers in your thing, and which is super odd because Time Warner Cable here, as you guys might know, Adam, because you're in SD, they got picked up by Spectrum. So it used to be your Time Warner Cable was always in the list of top providers, whatever happened to go through the next list of, are you in the other category? Well, now Hawaiian Telcom, which is a really small company, they're on the TV provider list, but none of the Spectrum stuff is. So you still have to log them in one at a time. I just think that's a little crazy. But if you happen to be in here, it stops you from every time you open one of your video-oriented apps from having to go through that stupid login screen. So you can log in on your phone on a TV provider, and when you open up Netflix or whatever, sorry, not Netflix, like ABC or ESPN or any one of the other apps like that, it'll just automatically play. I thought that was really cool. I'm so glad they got that.
I'm single sign on that. But my provider is Xfinity Comcast, and I guess they're not playing nice with Apple yet, so they're not among the partners on that, so I still have to do it all. And I got to tell you, it prevents me from watching all those apps because I'm just not going to be bothered with logging in and authenticating, you know, 12 different TV apps.
Yeah, so somebody has to, like, go out to the Comcastians or the Spectrumans and say, like, everybody just email the hell out of the CEO until he stops being a punk. if we flood them with enough emails, maybe they'll leave it. They'll just go and behave because it's so much nicer. You know what I mean? Like, I'm almost at the point where I want to go to my buddy's Hawaiian Telecom login and put his login in just so I could use it without having to keep, like you said, it's a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm. Why aren't you using their set-top box, Doc?
My cable, I have a faster connection with Time Warner in my location. In some locations, Hawaii Telecom is better. So for us, it's regional, and it really has to do with where they were able to dig the fibers in the ground or not. You know, I'm too close to the ocean. You dig ground here, you're swimming in like 10 feet.
No, I was more alluding to the fact that the cable, isn't this thing, the cable providers not wanting to play nice with Apple's single sign-on about control, and they want you on their little set-top box that has all the channels built into it with their apps and those sorts of things.
I don't know. That could be exactly it, to be honest with you. It just so happened in the last couple of months. It used to be that prior to Spectrum buying Time Warner Cable, they were always on the first page. You never had to go look, right. never even had to go through the alphabetical order to get to the bottom. It'd be one at the top, and then they'd start at the A's with like Allegheny or something weird like that. But now they're not even on the page. You got to go and literally log in online. I just think that's so stupid.
Oh, Doc.
Why are you old, Doc?
I said aardvark.
Oh,
top of the list is going to be aardvark, surely.
Or AAA plumbing.
Bob Beach mentioned that you can turn off night shift and notification center. So... really cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Because cool. The thing I was going to say was that night shift is clearly something that needs a toggle switch. It could do with it in the menu bar, to be honest, though. Not even going to the notifications area.
Yep.
Yeah, or so stick with people know it's in that little hidden area. So when you go into notifications, you've got to swipe, pull down. So it's right above do not disturb.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Not good. Cool. New 9.7 inch iPad came out, didn't it? But a teardown has said it's the original iPad Air. Mm-hmm. All the components are the same. ID. But with Touch ID and with faster processor and stuff like that. But it's essentially it's just the original
iPad Air 2 updated.
But at the price, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if there's something that's going to jumpstart iPad sales and help get down market a little bit more, what's better than a lower price?
And a lot of times the computer upgrades are just speed bumps, so what's wrong with a speed bump on an iPad? Like, what do they have to add to make people not say weird things like that?
Well, and they doubled the storage, right? For the same price.
So then it's not the same. requires a lot more similarities than... Touch ID, faster processor, more storage, cheaper price. Those are like all key elements. Those are all major stuff.
You just throw the hook in and he bites.
It's not a bite. It's just some people have, sense, and some people have victim mentalities. Oh, they're out to get me. They're charging me this and they only gave me crappy upgrades. I mean, it's perception. Like, if you're a victim, you're always a victim and you're always bitching about the same victim-oriented stuff.
It's the same iPad, except for the double storage.
Calm down, Doc. We love you.
I'm not calming down. If you're a weak constitutional person, then be a bitch. That's not my fault.
Just calm down, man. Have a swig of coffee and take a breath. There we go.
There's not coffee in there. This is hair of the dog.
The only thing that I thought was potentially... Oh, good man. The only thing I thought was that... Because iPad sales have been slowing...
Right.
And I think Apple have run a focus group, and people have said, they've had people in that said, "Hey, do you have an iPad?" "Yes." "Right, why haven't you bought a new iPad?" "Because the one I've got does just fine." "Okay, fine. So we need to make an iPad that really has got a shelf life." And also then they've said, "So why haven't you bought an iPad?" And they've gone, "Well, considering the one works I've got does just about what I need it to do, they're too expensive." And I think that's... I honestly believe they've run a focus group, and the thing that's keep coming back is you need to make this cheaper if you want us to buy it, and that's why they've done it.
Why my kids still roll original iPad minis, and they complain about their 16 gigs of storage, but they're not really interested in upgrading because it's way too expensive.
Mm. Yeah. No, they're upgraded. You pay for it.
also for education, for example, or business in general, business education, the lower price is, I think, a good argument because it brings it down to, I think, even Chromebooks, right?
Yeah. Well, Chromebooks are $299. These are $329. Yeah. Like, but they did a great job. But and then I just want to ask Apple, like, really the last $30, you couldn't just take it off just to make it more Chromebook?
It's probably even less.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, if there's an item that Apple's making that's commoditized right now, I think it's the iPad. You have the iPad Pro for the people who need those extra features. But, you know, an iPad, it's a kind of a, it's a flat screen that you surf the web and do some email on and things like that. And if you can get that price down, then I do think you're going to open up your market and get some more people in there. And that's a good thing because those people are eventually going to want to upgrade. Maybe it's 3, 4, or 5 years from now. But if you're making a bigger market, a bigger piece, the same size piece of a bigger pie is a good, very good thing to have.
My mum and dad have got a Mac. Well, my mum's got an iMac, and it's 21 inch. It's end of life. It's really slow, and it's pretty horrible. And she keeps complaining about how it's done stuff and it's just deleted stuff, and it's not it's her that's done it. But there's a bit of me is thinking, I could be, would I be better off getting them and an iPad and a keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then because of the fact they're older, I've got to get them the 12 inch, I think, or mm-hmm. I've got to sit and think to myself, I could get a cable that runs it into an HDMI onto the TV and then they can watch it on the TV and manipulate it. And I'm a bit, because in terms of processing power, she doesn't need an iMac, not even close. But in terms of, you know, they're 86, they've got to sit and look at a screen. They can't deal with anything that's massively innovative. She's not going to sit with it in her lap and do it, I don't think. And she likes playing a solitaire and that kind of stuff. And I don't think, yeah, I'm really torn about whether to try how to try and get them a new computer.
With the with the accessibility features and the dynamic type, I know that both my wife's parents and my mom, they only have iPads and they absolutely love them in both scenarios. You know, it's just simpler. They have iCloud backups turned on. So, you know, that's done. It's flip a switch. So they're getting their backups. It's no mess, no issues at all. And yeah, I mean, there's the occasionally thing where the ISP email might mess up, where I might get a call and it's like it's not connecting to email or something like that. But beyond that, it's worked out really, really great. And my mom does almost everything and she doesn't even have a computer, hasn't had a computer at home since she left, you know, since she retired. Her last working with a computer was in the office. That was a PC, and she hated it, and she loves the iPad. And so, like, but the on the visuals thing, you know, you can just set it up for them and just crank up the dynamic type size to the largest font, and then every app will have bigger text.
Yeah, I think because I love my iPad Pro, the 12-inch. I wouldn't be without that. And I think what I'm going to do is if they bring out a new one of those in September, I'll upgrade and then they'll have my 12-inch old one and with the keyboard and see where it goes from there. Because I'm not convinced that they don't need a Mac, not in the slightest. Even a Mac Mini would be too much for them. And then still got to buy a screen anyway, so.
I don't even know if they'd need the keyboard.
Well, I've got a Logitech keyboard that I don't use, so it would kind of, you know, it would give them an option at least.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. In some ways, it just sort of complicates it, though, too, I think.
Yeah, wait and see. Yeah.
Because you got to keep it charged up. And oh, no, that one
works. No, it works off the three spark connectors.
Yeah, I forgot.
So that's what I'm saying. It's. I'm going to get a call every 5 minutes, which is, oh, the keyboard's not working. Well, yeah, but have you taken the iPad out of the keyboard? Yes. Okay, well, that's why it's not working.
Right.
or it's not quite aligned. It's not in the groove or whatever, you know. So we shall see. Apple's lottery for the 2017 Worldwide Developers Conference has started. Kicks off. $1,599 if you want to go. You going, Patrice?
No. I don't have that that money, and to be honest, I haven't really felt the need to visit any WWDC ever.
he's a bit shit then.
I don't know. I mean, I think if you're, I mean, if you're in the app business, really deep into the app business, then it might be worth it. But as someone who's somewhat on the outskirts, it's just, I mean, not worth the money. I would go if I mean, Doc was there or you guys were all there, I would definitely go. But as I said, it's just way too expensive.
Yeah, but that's the drink, beer, and the chieftain.
That's about it.
You can't drink a beer in the chieftain because it's in San Jose.
Well, we're not going to the conference. Of course we can drink beer in the chieftain.
Oh.
Let's meet her at the school.
We could come here and have it.
Yeah, true.
Do you think that the because of course we've had the airlines from the Middle East have been told that they can't bring laptops on carry on, it's all got to go in the hold. Same with cameras, same with tablets, that kind of stuff. Do you think some of the restrictions that the U.S. I don't want to get too political, but do you think that some of the restrictions that the U.S. is throwing in on travel that I think are a bit disproportionate to the threat risk are going to put people off coming? Because I've got to say, at the moment, I couldn't give a stuff about coming to the U.S. It does not interest me in the slightest. You know, the thumbprint thing was like, okay, I'll live with the thumbprint, but opening my device, taking my passwords, telling me I've got to tell you everything about all of my accounts for Gmail, for Facebook, you know, sorry, yeah. Stuff your country up your ass, I'm not coming.
Mm.
And I don't, with great respect, fellas.
No, I mean, I think, yeah, I agree. And then what's going to happen in a way how it will affect it is right now, it's a worldwide developer conference. So you hear, you know, when people get together and they start to sort of commingle and communicate, you hear the various problems that you have in different situations. And maybe somebody from a different, you know, country comes and says, well, we have to deal with this. And someone here is like, I never really thought of us having to deal with it, but we should write it in for when we decide to do our, you know, worldwide rollout. So you're going to just have a bunch of U.S. developers at the thing at one time. And you won't have the same amount of sharing and learning and, you know, I hate to use the word fellowship, but fellowship and, you know, whatever. So I think that will actually end up screwing it up.
I'm not too sure about that. I mean, it might even be a big issue for people from certain countries. I mean, there are developers in the Middle East and there are good developers in the Middle East. I mean, so for them, it might be an issue. But I think overall, WWDC has always been a US-centric and probably, I don't know how many. I mean, Apple mentions that there are 70 countries, but I think most people are still from the US, I would guess. Simply because of cost.
I mean, and there's regional conferences over there, right? I mean, you guys have regional dev conferences. I think
exactly. Even Apple is every now and then doing something.
Is in Switzerland, right? And I think there's a couple in Germany or one in the Netherlands as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And as I said, Apple is doing, every now and then, they are doing small, I wouldn't call them conferences, but tech talks in Berlin, for example, here in Germany. So
I wasn't even just talking about Apple. I was just talking about alternate conferences as well.
Exactly.
One of the last things you want to do at the moment is cluster together in a group in Europe, though, because it seems to attract attention, shall we say.
True.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They are fantastic. They look after us. We had some new banners that we put up on the website, but they all flashed. And we're too old for flashing banners. But we've got some more coming. Make it easy to click through and get your discount codes and that kind of stuff. But it's fairly easy anyway. BritishTechNetwork.com/UK2 will get you to your account if you just want to sign in, and we'll get kudos for you returning. And BritishTechNetwork.com/sponsors will get you to the offer codes from UK2 that could get you up to 20% off your basket. They're a fantastic company. They've looked after us for a long time, and they're looking after us for a long time into the future as well. As and this weekend is the optical exhibition at the NEC. Mark Kulcher and all the Hoya chaps will be at the NEC showing off Uniku. I'm going to swan along there perhaps on Sunday evening and have a look at the system and meet with the boys and maybe get a drink afterwards, but please support Hoya as well. Walk into your local opticians and say, do you do high lenses? And if they go no, go, well, that's a shame, and walk out. That's all you've got to do. And if you're interested in Uniku, then pop along to the NEC. You can get into the exhibition. It's not a problem. And you can have a look at the system. Go and say hello to Mark and all the people there from Hoya. I can't wait. I'm going to send some pictures out. So keep your eyes open on Twitter, because there will be pictures coming your way. It should be fun. Right, time for the cool things. Duck, start us.
All right, I'm going to do an oldie but goodie, but I think this requires a rehash just based off of conversation and some of the stuff that has been going around.
Netscape.
Yeah, Netscape Navigator. Netscape. How'd you know? Wow. Bro, you just messed me up.
I came across a folder today that had DivX on it, and I was just like, God, is DivX still a thing? Because that was like the codec, wasn't it?
Oh my God, I can't believe that. That's super funny. Anyway, back to what I was saying. I guess in comedy they call it a pullback. I'm going to do a pullback. I think that everybody needs to be in much more secure passwords, especially with guys out there now. It used to be in the Apple world, we were a little obscure. We never had to worry about hackers and, you know, malware dorks and everybody doing weird stuff. So I'm going to suggest you get your $3 a month out and you buy one password. You can find this at agilebits.com or at onepassword.com with the number one. And what's really cool about what they've changed into, how they have evolved over the years. Now you have a single repository that you log into, and you can apply this to every computer you own. It doesn't matter whether it's a Mac or a PC or an iOS device. iPad, iPhone, whatever, is you can use one password. So they give you something known as a password recovery kit, which you can print out and stick in your safety box should something happen to you, like you have an early demise or whatever, and people need to get in. Your lawyers and your estate managers will be able to get access to things. Like, it's just they thought about everything that has to do with passwords and figured out ways to simplify them. And there's even a family plan or a work plan if you need to share with your mates or your loved ones. And what that does is just gives you a certain level of security where there are certain passwords that everyone can have, and there you can still sort of build little walls around the other one. So they're, you know, like one group would be like, say, you and the wife, and she has access to X stuff, but then, you know, the kids may not. So anyway, I say it's time to revisit what you're doing with your password safety. And to me, one password is the way to go.
Excellent, mate. Mm-hmm. Good thing. We've had a review. Thanks to those people who bother to leave reviews. It does make a world of difference to us, just mostly because it makes us chuckle more than anything else, or cry at the abuse that you throw our way. If it's abuse that's well worded, I'm okay with that. That's fine. But now, do you remember the one we had the other week, fellas, that said, from King Dappy, it said, overall a good show, but horrible production. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really, yes. Poor production values.
Correct.
So we've had one from GB Redneck, who said, this show goes up to 11. Professional production. What more could you want? I've not bothered writing podcast reviews in the past, but the British Network deserves a damn good pat on the back. Very late to the whole podcasting thing. Started with Twit. Wouldn't miss a thing. Watched live to probably half a dozen shows a week. Discovered you and the British Tech Network and love it. Real people, real world use for stuff they discuss. Not found a single guest on the shows that makes me want to turn off and not listen, which is not how I feel about other podcasts. I think a lot of my enthusiasm is, as many have said, it's a real UK-based slant on it. And they certainly aren't frightened to take the mickey out themselves. Must listen. Thank you, Rob, for leaving that. That's very kind, mate. If you've got a review,
today,
please.
Today
please
we have three Americans and an Apple Payless German, and it's the UK plant.
I'm just gobsmacked that just under 20,000 people listen to us talk shit every week.
Excuse me. We love you guys.
Yes. We do. We absolutely do. Keep the reviews coming because they're hilarious. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, first of all, it's funny you mentioned DivX. DivX is still around because I know I have known people that have worked there. I don't know if I know people that currently work there. their company here in San Diego. They've gone through a lot of acquisitions and stuff like that. I think the video codecs are now relegated to like sort of proprietary video streaming services for internet stuff, just by the way. But history aside, actually, I'm going to do a little bit of history in my pick too, sort of in a roundabout way. I am picking this great little app that I found out about because of the latest Jonathan Colton video. And it is a vintage terminal app for your Mac or for iOS, an SSH client. And it's a little goofy. I'm not sure it would be that useful, but it's called Cathode. And basically what this is a terminal app that literally tries to recreate old, like, CRT terminals. So including degaussing and the flicker effects and static and scan lines and the bezels around and the curved distortion of the glass. You can put in your own, you can put in your own photo to have it reflected back in the screen. So, but it is a functioning terminal and SSH client as well. So it does work. I will say the iOS app, if you get it right now and launch it, it does give the, you know, the new 32-bit warning. But I reached out to the developer and they said it is 64-bit except one bit of code that they have in there for doing something, and they're working on converting that. So it is still being actively developed and updated, and it will survive the next round of OS updates. So, cool little thing. You can download the Mac version as a free trial just to play around with it and see what it looks like. But it's got a bunch of themes that you can scroll through. And on the Mac, including on the Mac, it has a, if you go under the, forget which menu it is, it has access to Space Opera, for which people don't know. They're out on the internet there. There is a Telnet server that you can connect to that plays the entire Star Wars episode 4, A New Hope, in ASCII text.
Of course. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
This is cool.
I've told you about the dev at a project I was at who left on bad terms.
No.
Oh, so... there was a dev at a place that I was working at, and they left on bad terms. They argued constantly about stuff, and they said to him, "We want all the work that you've done." And he said, "Well, you're not getting it until you pay me." And they said, "We want all the work you've done, and we're not paying you." So he sent him a disc. They sent him the money. They opened the disc up, and it was just strings and strings of hex. And eventually, they had to send it away to get it sorted out. And when it came back, it was Shrek. That's awesome. I used to work at a firm where we had green terminals. It was a data general system, and they had green terminals, and then just before I left they went to orange terminals, and it was like, wow,
right? Color, so you can recreate all that stuff. What I'm looking forward to doing is getting this on my iPad Pro and sitting down at Starbucks and SSHing in somewhere, just in full screen.
Like, I want someone to do
freaking people
there's
out.
There's got to be someone done this so that you could do like a Word document and you could sit and type the body text in it.
Well, so here you go. That would be so, the same company makes the same app called Blinky that's a text editor.
Oh, right. Ooh. Sold.
Something like Word Perfect.
That is awesome. Oh, that's brilliant. Right.
It's just a basic text editor, but yeah.
I'm going to type shed loads this week. I'm going to sit there and write a novel.
Yeah, available on the Mac App Store. It's called Blinky, the retro text editor
for Mac. You sit and type your entire book, and you get to the end and realize you can't export, you can't drag and highlight. It's stuffed. Good pick, mate. Like that. Like that lots. Patrice.
Yeah, I have a iOS app this time for you. If you're following me on Instagram, you know that I like to post pictures. And recently, I wanted to post a picture of the two first charging cards I got for my i3 that I ordered. But there was a number, the ID number on the front. And I wanted to post that. And I just thought, okay, I could How do I remove this? I could go to the Mac, use Photoshop and remove it. Would be easy. But there must be a way to do that on iOS. And, well, I found an app. It's also from Adobe. It's Photoshop Fix. Very, very easy. Actually, quite powerful. I mean, for doing it on an iPhone, I was surprised how easy it was and how good it looked in the end. I mean, it was near perfect. You couldn't even tell that I removed the number. So I think BMW contacted me and asked whether they could use it. And I told them, hey, I edit this. So I don't know whether you should. It's a really great app. It's very simple. As far as I know, it's free. I'm not sure whether you need Creative Cloud to use it. I have it, so I simply signed in. So take that with a grain of salt. But it's as I said, simple, really, really good. Good quality and easy to use.
I use it all the time. It's a great app. Account.
I think you do have to have a Creative Cloud account, but it'll work with the free one. It doesn't have to be a paid account.
I wasn't sure. So
cool. Good shout. What was the app that you recommended the other week? The rendering one, Doc. Going with an F. Forge.
No, Fusion 360. Autodesk Fusion 360.
Yeah, no, that was brilliant. Loved that.
You know it has a slicer for 3D too, yeah, for your printing.
No, that's not it. Then it was the rendering thing. It was part of it's part of Adobe.
So it's all part of the same suite. Oh my God, my brain's just dumb. I gotta look at my thing. The Media Coder?
No, it was
Fuse,
yeah.
Fuse.
Loved it.
That's right.
Brilliant, mate. I've just opened Blinky and started typing on it. I'm going to use this in a video.
It's awesome, right?
You could sit and type text in and just do a screen capture of it and then retime it and slice it so that it looked like it was like War Games or something. Let's play
a game.
Global thermonuclear war.
I got a nice game.
Be careful what you're wishing
for. I just hit return and then my button twitched. Go on. Chuck, what have you got, mate?
I have a more practical one. It's hardware, but it's not the really expensive hardware that I usually show up with. I don't know if you've ever heard the term second screen, if you've ever discovered that while you're sitting on the couch watching TV, you may want to play with your iPad or something. Maybe that's just me. But while it's not very disturbing to sit there with, you know, watching a screen next to somebody who's also watching TV, it is kind of disturbing, I've discovered, to turn the sound up while you're doing that. So I wanted something that I could just, you know, keep with me all the time, just pop into my ear in case there was something that I wanted to listen to while I was in an area where playing things through speakers wouldn't be appropriate. And I didn't want to have to carry these kind of things around all the time to do that. So I did a little research and I found a company called QCY, which makes a tiny little, Bluetooth earbud that you can just pop into your ear, syncs very easily, very reliably with multiple devices, connects as soon as you turn it on. So it's quick to use. So if I'm sitting in a conference that's, you know, boring me a little bit, or there's something that somebody says and I want to check it out, I can just pop this in my ear and listen to my iPad without disturbing anybody or iPhone. The really nice thing about this is I found it on Amazon for about $16. But if you guys have ever heard of a website called geek.com or wish.com, they're owned by the same company, which is sort of like the anti-Amazon Prime. You get really good deals on things, but you're certainly not going to get them overnight. It may take you several weeks or even a month and a half for something to get shipped over on that slow boat from China. But I found the same thing on wish.com for $6. So if you're cheap like me and you have patience, you can get it that way. Like I said, works great. It's small enough that I carry it in my pocket all the time, you know, jacket pocket, pants pocket, and it's ready to go. And I highly recommend it.
You don't have AirPods in?
I do not. But, you know, $6 versus whatever the AirPods are.
Is it a single unit or two?
They sell them both ways. I got the single unit. This is certainly not something that you're going to listen to Spotify or your music collection with.
Right.
It's not high fidelity sound, but it is quite good, and it's plenty loud enough, and it's very clear. I think there may be even a microphone in this thing, although I haven't checked it out for Skype or telephone calls yet.
The Q26 has a mic.
It does. Okay. Yeah. And it's neat. So sometimes I even feel like Lieutenant Uhura when I just pop that.
It does stick out a fair bit, I would think.
Not a lot. I mean, it's fairly unobtrusive.
Captain, open a channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Frequency's open.
Doesn't really stick out more than the AirPods do.
Yeah.
No.
Not even less, actually.
We're being hailed by the Klingon warbird, sir. cool pick. My cool thing is the Spider 5 calibrator. I've been sent this as a review unit. I'll be putting a review up soon in the next couple of weeks. This thing is brilliant. I've got the Colour Monkey Smile as well. And I love that. It's great. It's easy to use. And it's great to pop on once a week. But it only does single monitor support. This one does dual monitor support. And what's really nice about this, and when I first sat and thought about it, I was like, so if I buy this, this is the Express. If I want the Elite, so do I get a different unit? And the answer's no. You just get new software. And I thought to myself, oh, that's a bit cheap because it's the hardware that's the great stuff. And it's not. It's the software that's the great bit. And what I really like about this is you can buy the package that is right for your budget. So you get the same unit, but if you've bought this unit, rather than having to go and buy another unit, you just upgrade the package. So if you think, actually, I'm doing a bit more with your photography now, I want to go a bit better and I want multiple support, I want to go to external calibration, I want to use the light gathering option there so I can do scanning of documents and that kind of stuff for colour, then you can do it with this. Dead simple. They start off at £89 for the Elite, for the Express, and they go up to £256 if you want the Elite. But it's brilliant. So over the next couple of months, we're going to do some reviews with these guys. I'm doing the Elite one to start with. Ian Lewis has got one. So then we're going to slowly work our way through the packages to see what extra you get. And hopefully then you'll be able to settle on which one you want. But if you're saying, oh, well, okay, maybe I'd like to just buy the basic one because I don't want the big one. It doesn't matter. If you buy the basic one, and then you go, well, I want to upgrade, you can pay the upgrade fee so you haven't wasted any money in buying the original stick, you know, first rung on the ladder. The lens cap is the counterweight as well when you put it on your monitor. And if you have, if you do anything, if you're serious about your photography, you like your photography or you like your video, then you must calibrate your screen. You absolutely must calibrate your screen. And for £89, I think that's a really, really good buy. And I love the fact that it's expandable. The Colour Monkey Smile I've got, I bought that unit, and there's nowhere to go with it. That is it. It is done and dusted. Whereas with this one, I can take it as far as I want. I can pay as much as I want. Really good product. Really enjoying it. Well done, Data Colour. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
All over the internet at DOCROCK and on this very network, the BTN network, making trouble to you lot.
Good man. And catching fish.
Polishing his monkey wood.
Polishing his monkey wood, yes. Adam, where are you, mate?
You can find me at maccast.com. Pretty much Maccast everywhere online and social media, and at the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Patrice, wherefore art thou?
Every week here on the Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. And lastly, but by no means least, Chuck.
You can find me on Twitter at Chuck Latornis. Pretty much not doing a whole lot online these days, but if you want to catch up, the best place is probably randomaccess.com. Two M's, two C's, two S's. And if I do anything that appears elsewhere, I'll let you know about it there.
And here every other week, except you broke your contract last time.
I did, but I did return the check.
Okay. Yeah, he was probably on the bridge of the Enterprise.
I haven't got that yet.
Okay.
It's obviously in transit.
Well, it's the same one you sent me.
So oh, got you. Right. Okay, yeah. So mine's in transit too then. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at ewanrankin.com. We're on Thursday this week coming up, Thursday the 6th. So the live shows will be on Thursday. Tom Merritt's popping along as well, so it should be a good old chin wag. Friday, I've got stuff to do, so we're stuffed. But see you on Thursday, and it should be a good time. Back at Big Show at 8 o'clock, but in the meantime, we're going for a curry. So see you next week. Thanks for listening.